This is WRAL News, your number one source for local news.
He started shouting, and then he started firing at random directions. I thought he saw me, and so I immediately ducked for cover.
Workers describe the terror and chaos that unfolded as a gunman opens fire at a FedEx facility, killing eight before ending his own life.
And it's the 10th anniversary of one of the worst tornado outbreaks in North Carolina. I'll take you to one of the hardest hit places in Wake County.
And we're following the adjustments vaccine clinics are making while the Johnson & Johnson vaccine remains on pause. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan, and we begin with new developments in that deadly shooting at a FedEx facility in Indianapolis. We now know four of the victims were found outside that facility. Four more were inside. Police officers have not formally identified the suspect, but they say they have an idea who that person is. And moments before this newscast, we learned the FBI is assisting police with searching a suspect's house. Antonio Hilton reports officials say the suspect killed himself.
The community here in Indianapolis is waking up to news of yet another horrific mass shooting. What we know right now is that a gunman entered a FedEx warehouse and killed eight of the workers there, and according to police, ultimately shot and killed himself.
I'm just tired. I'm just tired of people, and there needs to hurt others.
Right now, we still do not know the motive of the shooter, but we do know that several other people were injured and rushed to seek medical care. The police chief, McCart, spoke to the Today Show this morning and shared that thankfully all of those folks are now in stable condition. Antonia Hilton, NBC News, Indianapolis.
Makaya Thurman here in the WREL Live Center. We're following some breaking news here in Person County specifically, where a community college is on lockdown. We want to get right to Piedmont Community College's website that says Person County locations on lockdown. They said the Person County Campus and Business Development as well as Entrepreneurship Center locked down due to an off-campus situation. We are waiting for updates and have calls out to the sheriff's office as well as the local police departments there. We'll update you here in our noon newscast with any updates as we have them.
With the recommended use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine on hold, the White House COVID-19 response team discussed the federal response to the pandemic. WRAL's Ken Smith is here with the major takeaways from today's briefing. Ken.
Renee, a primary focus of today's briefing was the emerging COVID-19 variants. To that end, the response team announced $1.7 billion in funding to track and fight coronavirus variants. This money will go to the CDC as well as state and local health departments. The goal here is to improve genomic sequencing, which allows labs nationwide to identify coronavirus variants and track the prevalence of them in the U.S. The response team says COVID-19 variants now account for nearly half of all COVID-19 cases in the United States. In addition, the response team once again sounded the alarm about metrics that are up 5 to 8% all across the country compared to the previous week.
We must continue to get many more people vaccinated. The increasing trends in cases, hospitalizations, and deaths are very concerning, and they threaten the progress we've already made.
Dr. Walensky says the variant first detected in the UK is now the most prevalent variant here in the United States. Also, the response team announced the launch of another mass vaccination site, this one in Bessemer, Alabama. Renee?
The federal response team covering a lot of ground. Ken, thanks.
The CDC will also meet 1 week from today to discuss the next steps for the Johnson & Johnson shot. Local vaccine clinics say the pause has not slowed them down. WRL's Michelle McConaughey shows us how one at UNC is now switching its supply from J&J to Moderna.
We're at the Carolina Student Vaccination Clinic where they plan to use the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, but today they'll be using Moderna instead. Johnson & Johnson use was paused Tuesday, but it wasn't just here at UNC. On Tuesday, the CDC and the FDA made their recommendation for everyone to pause nationwide. A lot of colleges were using Johnson & Johnson because of the convenience and opportunity to get students vaccinated before summer break. We spoke to one student who was supposed to get the Johnson & Johnson shot, but had to get Moderna instead.
I was a little nervous, and it made me more nervous probably for this shot than I originally would have been. But I think that the FDA and CDC is on top of it, and they're doing their best to make everything safe as possible.
And WRL is dedicated to giving you the most up-to-date information on where and when you can get your vaccines. Major providers like Wake County, Johnston County, and Cumberland County say they don't plan on stopping their efforts anytime soon. In Chapel Hill, Michelle McConaughey, WRL News.
Now, scheduling a vaccine doesn't have to be time consuming. WRL is doing all the legwork for you every day and showing you what's available. Today, Glenwood South Pharmacy in Raleigh has 50 first dose appointments available. They can also accommodate those looking to get their second Moderna shot. Cumberland County continues its mass drive-through clinic at the Crown Complex for first dose appointments. And some Harris Teeter stores in Raleigh, Chapel Hill, Wake Forest, and Fayetteville all have appointments this weekend. We're constantly updating availability on WRL.com. So go to our homepage, scroll down to the yellow banner. It says Find Your Vaccine, and that will bring you the complete list.
There's an effort to entice more people to visit downtown Raleigh, and they're doing that by putting wheels on their feet. WRL's Adam Owens is at the convention center to explain. Adam.
Renee, if you want to bring people to downtown Raleigh, this is a great way to do it. I've been to a lot of events here at the downtown Raleigh Convention Center, but I am told this is a first, turning the inside into a roller rink. As you mentioned, it's all a part of trying to get people to the downtown area. It's called Skate Raleigh. It is Shop Local Raleigh and DJ Unique coming together as organizers. Mako Medical is the sponsor here. The event starts at 4 p.m. today. It runs until Sunday at 6 p.m. And they want to reintroduce people to downtown Raleigh. Obviously, this area hit hard by the pandemic. People not coming down here maybe like they used to. This is a way to reintroduce them to how much fun downtown Raleigh can be. The general admission is $13 with discounts if you own your own skates or if you are a first responder. Skating sessions run 2 hours, and they will have some breaks in between those sessions so they can, of course, sanitize the area. Obviously, masks and social distancing, that will also be very important during this event. More evidence that we're still dealing with this pandemic in the Raleigh area. But look how they have this place set up. It is pretty. We don't have the music going quite yet, but we got the disco ball. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun in here. So if you're able to make it out, there are still some tickets available. Our producer, Renee, asked if I could get on skates and maybe move around a bit for you. But I told her that we would have some breaking news and maybe some breaking bones if that happened.
I know. Do you think roller skating is like riding a bike? Because it has been decades for me since I attempted roller skating. Okay. You got the feel, though, and you also have the disco ball for the ambiance. Brings back a lot of great memories. Sounds like a lot of fun. Adam, thanks.
I just need people to join my party.
Yeah.
Micaiah Thurman here in the WREL Live Center following some breaking news just in that a man who is being arrested at the Durham County Jail collapsed and died. This is just in. Them sending a press release not identifying the man, but said that he was being processed for charges and during the intake process collapsed. At this point, they said there was an investigation. And because this happened on the jail's property, the FBI is handling that investigation. Back to you.
The family of a 12-year-old boy killed by a Cleveland police officer wants the Justice Department to reopen the civil rights case into his death. Rice was playing with a toy gun outside a rec center in 2014 when someone called police reporting a guy was pointing a gun at people. Officer Timothy Lohman shot Rice seconds after he and his partner arrived. Federal prosecutors last year declined to charge the officers, saying video of the shooting was too grainy to show what happened. Lohman was fired in 2017, but his dismissal was not connected to the shooting. After 14 days of testimony, the murder trial of Derek Chauvin enters a new phase. Closing arguments are now set for Monday. Then the case will go to the jury, which will be sequestered. Today, the prosecution and defense are hammering out the exact wording of jury instructions. The most serious charge Chauvin faces, second-degree murder for the death of George Floyd, carrying up to 40 years in prison if he's convicted.
Troopers believe speed was a factor in a fiery crash in Raleigh. Troopers say Dantes Haywood crossed the center line on Rock Quarry Road, ran off the road, and hit a tree overnight. Then the car caught on fire when it crashed. Fire investigators are searching for the cause of a fire at a Raleigh house. This was the scene on Van Thomas Drive around 10:30 last night. We know the fire started on the back porch and spread to the attic. Four people escaped without injuries.
The Dow Jones continues its record run, up 93 points and crossing the 34,000 threshold for the first time. S&P 500 also edging higher to a record high. NASDAQ, the tech stocks aren't doing so well, down about 6 points right now. Tim Sweeney is now the richest person in North Carolina. He's the CEO and founder of Epic Games, which is headquartered in Cary. Sweeney passed Jim Goodnight of SAS on Forbes' list of the world's richest people. His net worth, around $7.4 billion. Forbes estimated Goodnight's fortune at $6.5 billion as of April 7th. Epic Games is behind the globally popular game Fortnite and develops cutting-edge video games and computer graphics.
Some state lawmakers are reintroducing a proposal to crack down on distracted drivers. WRL State House reporter Travis Fain tells us legislation was close to getting approval to ban driving while holding a cell phone, but the effort died for lack of support in North Carolina Senate. This happened 2 years ago. This year's version has been sitting without movement for 2.5 months. Leaders say there's just too much division in the Senate's Republican majority to move it forward right now. Vice President Kamala Harris will be in North Carolina next week. She'll stop in Greensboro and High Point on Monday to talk about the American Jobs Plan and growing the economy. This will be her first trip to North Carolina since becoming vice president.
Next at noon, we take you back 10 years when the deadliest tornado outbreak our state has ever seen hit our viewing area. Elizabeth Gardner is live from the site of an area devastated in 2011.
Also, the Facebook watch party feature, so popular in the pandemic, is gone after today. What the social media giant is saying about eliminating it.
Plus, Prince Philip's funeral will be historically small. What will be included in the celebration of his life? Elizabeth.
And on the 10th anniversary of one of the worst tornado outbreaks in North Carolina, we'll take a look back and talk about how people dealt with such a tragedy.
You're watching WRAL News, now streaming free. Download and watch live on your favorite devices today.
New this noon, we learn North Carolina's Emergency Management Director will retire August 1st. Mike Sprayberry has led the Division of Emergency Management since 2013 and has been serving the state for more than 42 years. Sprayberry led the emergency response to 19 state-declared disasters and 11 federally declared disasters, including Hurricane Florence. Sprayberry says it has been an honor to serve the people of North Carolina through threats like storms and even the COVID-19 pandemic. Wilmington is getting back $3.2 million to cover the cost of debris removal from Hurricane Isaias last year. FEMA's share for the projects is $2.4 million, while the state will add nearly $810,000. FEMA's Public Assistance Program provides grants for state and local governments to reimburse the cost of debris removal, emergency protective measures, and repairs.
Today we mark one of the worst severe weather days in our area's history. 10 years ago today, a string of tornadoes wreaked havoc on North Carolina. WRL's Elizabeth Gardner is live at Stony Brook Mobile Home Park, which was one of the hardest hit areas in the Triangle. And Elizabeth, this is tough to go back and look at all this again.
So this is one of the hardest hit parts of Wake County here. This is the Stony Brook North neighborhood, and you can see the homes here. It doesn't look like any damage was ever done, but there were at least a dozen homes that were destroyed, and even more were damaged. So they had a lot of cleanup to do. Of course, that was 10 years ago. Unfortunately, there were people who died in our part of North Carolina, and four of them right here. And unfortunately, they were children. You can see this memorial here dedicated to the residents of Stony Brook North who whose lives were lost and families impacted by the tornado on April 16th, 2011. And it's a peaceful spot here right beside this pond. It's a nice place to come and reflect. Of course, today is a nice quiet day, but I can remember in the Weather Center as we were watching this several days before these tornadoes arrived, we could see the development, we could see the atmosphere looking like it could support some strong thunderstorms and tornadoes. But the day of, the Storm Prediction Center gave us the very highest level for risk for severe storms. And that was certainly something that I had never seen in our area before. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth sat down and talked to Mike Mays and meteorologist Nate Johnson, both who were covering the storm for us on that day.
It started as a nice spring morning.
You need to be taking shelter from this thunderstorm.
But meteorologist Nate Johnson, the former weather executive producer for WREL, knew the day would end on a very different tone.
You could feel it. There are days where you just feel the atmosphere is just loaded with energy. And you knew it was going to be a long day. You knew it was going to be a rough day. And, you know, our job in that moment is just to try and just get people through it.
The first tornado warning came down at 2:30 in the afternoon for Moore County. That's when it all got started. Meteorologist Mike May says he knew it was coming.
Oh, yeah. When the first one came down, we were immediately on the air. We were ready to go. And we were wall to wall, I think, clear through 11:30 that night.
If you're watching from Nightdale.
There were four supercells that developed that day. And I think we had 30 tornadoes, the greatest one-day total for North Carolina. 8 tornadoes that touched down in our viewing area. That's a really crazy day, and we haven't seen anything like it since. But was there anything that jumped out on you on the radar when you saw it? You're like, all right, this is not looking good.
I remember in Lee County, the Sanford tornado definitively had a hook. I mean, it was the, meteorologically speaking, it was the classic hook that you would see that would produce a tornado.
Then came the video footage. There was ground truth to that classic hook seen on the radar.
You saw the damage of this. It was essentially destroyed, and you knew what you were dealing with at that point. You knew that these weren't just signatures on a radar, but that these were tornadoes that were doing damage and potentially causing injuries and killing people. And that was when it really set home for me just how serious, really, truly serious this event was going to be when it was all said and done.
A day of firsts for many North Carolinians. The first time a tornado emergency was issued for their area. The first time for our viewers to learn about debris signatures on a radar. How incredible that the radar could now show us where debris from a tornado is being lofted into the sky.
It's the first time that we'd ever seen that with the dual Doppler 5000, which was one of the first dual pole radars in the country. It was the first time that we'd ever seen that, and we saw that multiple times that afternoon.
How did you feel at the end of the day? You saw all the damage. You guys were on for hours. You had to have been exhausted.
We were exhausted. You're always sad when there are fatalities in your market, when tornadoes come on by, and you always wonder, okay, could I have done better? What did I miss?
The story that haunts me from that day is the family. They were in North Raleigh, and they were in their home. They were doing everything right, and a tornado fell just in the absolute wrong place. I get chills thinking about it because these were people that literally did everything right, and we still lost them.
After the event was done, I thought, okay, this is the benchmark. This is probably the worst tornado outbreak I'll ever experience in my career, and I'm hoping that's the case.
Incredible to hear those stories. If you weren't here during that event, it was really something like Mike said, something that we'd never seen here before. Of course, this neighborhood was hit especially hard. That tornado started in Moore County and traveled 67 miles all the way across Wake County. And there were a number of neighborhoods in Wake County that were affected, but this one certainly was very heavily affected. Of course, it's a beautiful day today, and there are really very few signs besides this memorial, of course, that all of that happened. And we're going to talk a little bit more about today. It's a beautiful day. There's not a cloud in the sky. And certainly it's not feeling like tornado weather. It's a cool day out there. Let's take a look at our view from the sky cam right now. And you can see what's happening out there. This is a look at southeast Wake County. And there's not a cloud to be seen. Our temperatures dropped down into the mid-30s this morning. So feeling a bit like winter. We've now recovered back to 60 here in Raleigh, 62 in Fayetteville, 57 in South Hill. But I tell you what, I'm comfortable standing out here in my long sleeves, even in the sunshine. Let's jump on ahead and take a look at what's causing this chilly pattern for us. You see that low on the right side of your screen and the blue associated with it. There's snow up in the northeast right now, and you know they're tired of seeing that. But around that low, we're seeing that cold air rotating and moving down to the south. Now, it was very chilly for us this morning, but that sunshine, that April sunshine, has really warmed things up. It's 60 in Raleigh. It's still 51 in Cleveland and 49 in Chicago. And we are in for several several chilly mornings ahead. Let's jump on ahead and talk about future cast and roll it on through the afternoon. We're going to climb into the upper 60s for a high this afternoon around 4 to 5 o'clock, and then some clouds roll in. We're going to stay dry for today, and temperatures will begin to fall back through the 60s as we get through the evening. It's a Friday evening, so it actually will stay nice and mild for a bit. 7 to 8 o'clock temperatures will still be in the 60s. Around town tomorrow morning, we're looking at low to mid 40s, so that's going to be a little bit warmer than what we saw this morning. And then for Sunday, same story, a little bit warmer, mid to upper 40s for our overnight lows. Let's jump on out and take a look at our forecast for the weekend. A little rain on Saturday. Let's check out the 7-day forecast. We're going to talk more about our potential for showers on Saturday coming up in just a few minutes. This afternoon, upper 60s, mid 60s Saturday, coming up in about 30 minutes. A couple more things. We're going to touch on our chance for rain for Saturday, but we're also going to come back here and talk a little bit more about what happened at the National Weather Service as that tornado came very close to their offices. Back to you.
Yeah, Elizabeth, grateful for our quiet weather today on the 10th anniversary of a day that many of us will never forget. Coming up on WRL News this afternoon, a new clinic at Fort Bragg aims to address what some say is a growing problem in the military, suicide. Next, see how it's already helping dozens of soldiers get the help they need.
And then at 5:30, looking for a reliable ride, or maybe you got a little extra stimulus money, cash, COVID savings to splurge on? Five on your side, Monica Liberty shares the top car picks of the year. And Facebook saying goodbye to a virtual hosting feature. What you can do to keep followers engaged in the meantime.
While most of us spent time quarantined, solving puzzles, binging television shows, and on Zoom, one girl has been stacking cups. Why her cup half full philosophy on life is earning her national recognition.
Welcome back this noon. A shortage of houses for sale is one of the factors in the red hot real estate market. And Budweiser wants to give you a free beer if you've been vaccinated. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
The U.S. housing market is almost 4 million single-family homes short of meeting demand. That's according to an analysis by Freddie Mac in the Wall Street Journal. The shortage of homes is 50% higher than just 3 years ago. And the shortage is especially severe in entry-level homes. And that makes it harder for first-time buyers to enter the market. More signs, the U.S. economy is ramping up. Retail sales surged a better than expected 9.8% last month. Sales were boosted by the latest round of stimulus payments. And jobless claims fell to their lowest level since the pandemic began. About 576,000 people filed for unemployment benefits last week. That's down almost 200,000 from the week before. Budweiser is offering you a free beer if you've been vaccinated. You'll need proof of vaccination, such as the I Got Vaccinated sticker. You can also use a selfie from your vaccination site. The first 10,000 people over 21 to register will get a $5 virtual debit card to be redeemed for the free brew. You can register at abeeronbud.com. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber on the Money Desk in Florida.
Facebook is saying goodbye to Watch Party, the feature which allowed users to watch videos together and share comments. It was introduced in November of 2018, but after 2 years, Facebook plans to put an end to the feature today. Facebook has not yet said why they're removing this feature. Marketers suggest, though, that you keep going live on Facebook regularly and upload your own videos to keep people engaged.
Micaiah Thurman here in the WREL Live Center. About 15 minutes ago, President Biden issued a statement, this after the mass shooting that happened in the overnight hours in Indiana. Let's get right to that statement. He first ordered all flags at half staff at the White House following that FedEx shooting. And then in the quote, he said, last night and into the morning in Indianapolis, yet again, families had to wait to hear word about the fate of their loved ones. What a cruel wait and fate that has become too normal and happens every day somewhere in our nation. He finally wrapped up by saying gun violence is an epidemic in America, but we should not accept it. We must act. We'll continue to follow this developing story in the Live Center. But coming up after the break, we'll have the latest on the funeral arrangements for Prince Philip.
This is WRAL News, your number one source for local news.
final preparations are being made for the funeral of Queen Elizabeth's husband, Prince Philip. The ceremony was pared back due to coronavirus restrictions, but will still reflect his long life of military and public service. Keir Simmons walks us through the plan.
In just over 24 hours, Prince Philip will be laid to rest in St. George's Chapel, a day of family goodbyes, military honors, and history. The funeral will begin at 11 a.m., 6 a.m. Eastern, when the coffin will be brought from the private chapel at Windsor Castle to the state entrance. At 2:40 here, 9:40 Eastern, it will be placed in a modified Land Rover that Prince Philip himself created. He had a passion for design. At 2:45, 9:45 Eastern, the hearse will proceed through a route lined by military personnel to arrive 8 minutes later at the west steps of St. George's Chapel, where the Royal Marines will lift the coffin and carry it inside. The funeral will take place at 3 p.m., 10 a.m. Eastern, following a national minute of silence. Buckingham Palace has revealed the 30-person guest list and the formation of those walking behind the hearse. His children, Princess Anne and Prince Charles, will be followed by Prince Edward and Prince Andrew. Coming after will be his grandchildren, Prince William and Prince Harry, though they will be separated by their cousin, Peter Phillips. The two famously walked with their grandfather at Princess Diana's funeral. The Queen will travel in a Bentley behind the procession. And in perhaps the most poignant moment of a day filled with meaning, during the ceremony, she will sit alone.
And the Queen will be alone, of course, because of coronavirus restrictions. In fact, all of the guests, including members of the royal family, will be wearing masks. The Archbishop of Canterbury urging people to have compassion for the Queen, saying that she will, of course, have great dignity, but to remember that she is saying goodbye to her husband of 73 years. Keir Simmons, NBC News, Windsor.
NBC will have special coverage of Prince Philip's funeral beginning at 9:30 a.m., and you can watch it on WREL.
Now to a story you'll see only on WREL. We talked with the family of a 21-year-old man who drowned in Jordan Lake on Sunday. Oscar Yayo was canoeing with friends near Parker's Creek Campground when the canoe flipped. In 2017, his family came to America as refugees to escape war in Africa. In 2020, he graduated from Jordan High School and was working two jobs to save up for college.
I know my brother is a good brother. He's a hard worker, just like me. We come to America in 2017, and once we got here, first of all, we focus on education. He wanted to be a mechanic.
A graveside service will be held tomorrow afternoon. The family's church, St. Paul's Lutheran in Durham, is covering all funeral expenses.
New research suggests people who already had COVID-19 may only need a single dose of the vaccine. A recent study showed people with a prior COVID infection had already produced a strong immune response. But those who never had the virus did not achieve full immunity until after their second dose. They also needed the second dose to protect against the South African variant. We know how time-consuming it can be to find a place to get your vaccine, so we're doing the legwork for you. WRL's Makai Thurman joins us in the WRL Live Center with how you can find a clinic near you. Makai.
Renee, some good options today. It has been difficult for some, but Vance County has an open clinic today. It's all on our website, WRL.com. That clinic's already open and underway. It opened up at around 9 a.m. That is in Henderson on South College Street. Meantime, in Halifax County, another option there. That's at Drugco Discount Pharmacy in Roanoke Rapids. And we also wanted to give you an option if you happen to be in Fayetteville. The Harris Teeter there in Traymore Village has some vaccine appointments that are available right now. Now, as we mentioned, all of this is available on our website, WRAL.com. You can look on our homepage under Find a Vaccine, and there you'll find all this information for your best bets. Back to you.
Thanks, Makaya. This sign says it all. Kids will get some sense of normalcy this summer as camps reopen across the Triangle. WRL's Naya Harden went to Garner to show us some of the challenges camp leaders are facing as they begin to accept those applications.
They were expecting more kids would have been signed up by now, especially since this is the first summer camp that Garner is having since the start of the pandemic. Follow its CDC guidelines. The city is accepting fewer children, but says parents are still not signing them up. by now. Registration's nearly full, but so far they've only filled up half their spots. Then there's staffing. The city says by now more than 70 applicants would have applied. This year they've received around 20. And it's not just Garner seeing the dip. Parks and Rec manager Jack Baldwin says camps across the state are experiencing the same thing, and they're not sure what the exact reason is.
It's disappointing that, for me, right now, that we don't have the number of people wanting these jobs, because to me, it's the best summer job a teenager or a college student can have. It seems to be not just a Garner issue, but a state and local area issue.
To get your child involved in summer camp or to look for a summer job, we've posted information for you on WREL.com. Nia Harden, WREL News, Garner.
And mark your calendars now. More dinosaurs are taking over Raleigh later this year. You can get your tickets right now. Dino Stroll Raleigh will be held at the Raleigh Convention Center August 28th and 29th. It'll feature lifelike creatures, including fan favorites like T-Rex. Tickets are $17. They're on sale right now. This is the second dinosaur show stop in Raleigh. Dino Safari was at the NC State Fairgrounds, wildly successful back in February.
Fayetteville City leaders voted to repurpose the historic Market House. There are five options for the space, including transforming the building into an event space, creating an art exhibit, or putting up a Black History display. The Market House used to be the symbol of the city and was where enslaved people were once sold. R. Kelly will transfer to a new prison ahead of his trial. The pandemic has repeatedly delayed the singer's trial. Where and when he'll go on trial to face charges for sex crimes.
10 years ago today, this was the site of devastation from one of the biggest tornado outbreaks in North Carolina. Coming up, we're going to talk about the National Weather Service and their responsibility for putting out the warnings, how they handle a situation like this. Coming up.
R&B singer R. Kelly is being moved to a New York prison for his sex trafficking trial. A federal judge approved the move ahead of his trial that's been pushed to August. Kelly is currently behind bars in Chicago. He faces a potential second trial this fall in a separate federal case related to the sex crimes investigation. Prosecutors allege Kelly, his managers, bodyguards, and other employees aided in his recruitment of women and girls for sex. Allegations of drug use, sex, and payments after late-night parties with Republican Matt Gaetz could become items of interest to the Justice Department as part of its probe of Gaetz. Federal investigators are examining whether he engaged in a relationship with a woman that began when she was 17. Several women have come forth claiming the Florida Republican behaved like a frat type of party boy. After some parties, money would exchange hands, while others use digital payment apps to send money to the women at the parties.
The head of the Tokyo Olympics is insisting the Summer Games will not be canceled. In a briefing around 6 o'clock this morning, he said that while the rising number of COVID-19 cases in Japan is concerning, the organizing committee is currently not considering calling off the Games. The Olympics are still set to begin in just 3 months. An 11-year-old in Pitt County spends 5 hours a day in her room stacking cups. Jayla Brothers takes the cup-half-full approach to life during quarantine. Instead of letting the pandemic get her down, she decided to motivate herself by practicing her cup-stacking skills. Look at her go. She started a year ago and is already a champion and recently named to the USA Junior Olympics team for speed stacking.
It is worth every bit of the noise just to see her improvement, just to see her competitiveness.
Well, the next trip for Jayla is to a competition in Texas. And some of those competitions during quarantine have been held virtually to keep contestants safe.
Amazing. Well, Regal Theaters are reopening. The cinema chain began a phased reopening on April 2nd. Today, the chain will reopen fully around the country with Mortal Kombat. In a new deal, Warner Brothers will release all of its 2021 films simultaneously in theaters and on its streaming service, HBO Max. After 2021, the deal will give films 45 days in theaters before moving to streaming platforms. The Cocoa Booth Amphitheater is continuing its movie series tonight. The event venue has COVID-19 protocols in place. Masks are required, and about 800 guests will be allowed at a time. Captain Marvel is playing there tonight. The show starts at 8. And you can always figure out what's going on around the Triangle on WREL.com. Check out the Out and About page on our website.
Micaiah Thurman here in the WREL Live Center. We are following breaking news about a lawsuit that Liberty University has filed against Jerry Falwell. Take a look at this article. This was just posted on U.S. News. They are seeking about $10 million, accusing the former president and chancellor of breach of contract and fiduciary duty. The suit claims that Falwell withheld scandalous and potentially damaging information from Liberty's board of trustees, all while negotiating a generous new contract for himself in 2019 under what they call false pretenses. Of course, this is a breaking story, something we will continue to follow on our website, WREL.com. And coming up just after the break, Elizabeth Gardner will have a look at your weekend forecast.
The family of a 13-year-old boy who was shot and killed by a Chicago police officer is asking for peaceful protests. Dramatic body camera video shows the moment the police officer shot and killed Adam Toledo. We've stopped that video before the shots. An officer responding to reports of shots fired in the early morning hours of March 29th begins chasing the 13-year-old on foot. Also at the scene that night, 21-year-old Reuben Roman, who has been arrested and charged with reckless discharge of a firearm and endangerment of a child.
The officer screamed at him, "Show me your hands." Adam complied, turned around. His hands were empty when he was shot in the chest at the hands of the officer.
Police say there was a gun found near that scene, and records identify the officer who fired his weapon as 34-year-old Eric Stillman. He's been put on administrative duties for 30 days. The family attorney says her office has started their own investigation into the incident.
In Minneapolis, an all-too-familiar scene played out for a fifth straight day after the police-involved shooting of Dante Wright.
Say it louder!
Dante Wright!
Dante Wright!
Dante Wright!
Dante Wright!
The 20-year-old was shot and killed by former officer Kim Potter. She appeared in court for the first time yesterday on a second-degree murder charge. She faces 10 years if convicted. Her next court appearance is May 17th. Wright's funeral will be held next Thursday in Minneapolis.
I watch it come over the skies. I'm like, yo, this can't be happening.
Oh, my God, look out.
I just couldn't believe what I'd seen.
By the time we got down in the basement, there were trees popping, glass breaking.
It went right straight through us.
People screaming, kids screaming. It was crazy.
It's still at times hard to talk about. You know, the memories were more there.
I just lost my house. My neighbors just lost their house.
And I've cried and cried and cried.
Oh, man.
I felt like the whole world just come apart, just immediately.
But I lost 37 years of my life just in a matter of a few seconds that day.
Back here in the Stony Brook North neighborhood here in North Raleigh, of course, the scene is very quiet now. It's just incredible to see a lot of these pictures. It seems like 10 years was just a short time ago and a very long time ago at the same time. Folks here have recovered and, of course, trying to pick up pieces of their lives. There were four children that were killed here 10 years ago today. Of course, it's something that is tough for a lot of folks to deal with. The National Weather Service issues the warnings for tornadoes that we deliver to you. We use the radar to talk about that data, walk you through it, and show you where the storms are headed so that you can do your best to stay safe. I talked to one of the meteorologists at the National Weather Service this morning, Gail Hartfield, about what it was like when this tornado was headed toward their offices.
That was most interesting. We were, you know, monitoring obviously all the storms, and are like, this one's going to get pretty close. And, you know, and storms can, especially tornadic storms, can deviate a little bit in their motion. So we're like, this is coming right at us. And also, I think some of us were thinking about our families, some of us who were in, whose homes are in the path of it, and how are they and everything, how are they going to do? So there's all that swimming around in your head. You didn't have much time to think about much else.
Meteorologists like Gail and all the others at the National Weather Service, and of course here or at WREL as well, used to talking about these storms and trying to do our best to warn people, let them know what to do. But, you know, sometimes in a situation like this, it happens to all of us. And it was interesting to hear what Mike and Nate said too earlier about having to send everybody in the basement at WREL, except for them who are there trying to help people stay safe. Again, everything is nice and quiet here this morning. We have a nice weekend in our forecast. forecast, minus the fact that we're going to see a little bit of rain on Saturday. But the pattern that we're in right now is not conducive to severe storms, which is certainly good. We've already had several severe thunderstorms, even some tornado warnings through our area already this spring. It's a slow warm up out there. This is a look at the DBAP, 60 degrees, our temperature there. We're going to zoom around on our WRAL live camera network and take a look at what's happening across our area. We'll drop in on Goldsboro. Same story there, 61 degrees, with lots of sunshine. And there'll be a lot of people out and about, of course, for today and much of the weekend, too, with this nice weather. In Southern Pines, our look from Longleaf Golf and Family Club. It's going to be busy on the golf course this afternoon, I'm sure. It's 60 degrees, not too hot out there. Feels great to be outside. Our next system is down south. It produced a lot of scattered thunderstorms overnight and this morning. It's well to our south now, and its general track stays south, but we'll still see some showers out of this. Let's jump ahead to Futurecast and take a look. The rest of this afternoon from now through 5 o'clock is mostly sunny, and we'll see mainly clear skies overnight tonight and lows dropping back into the 40s again. Saturday morning looks nice and dry, but we'll see increasing clouds during the afternoon. Watch what happens as we get into the evening. 8 or 9 o'clock, we begin to see a few isolated showers popping up. It's not much rain, and most of it happens after sunset. So we'll move through that and jump on into Sunday morning. And Sunday, we're going to start off with a little sunshine, and much of Sunday should be fairly dry for us. So the weekend's not looking terrible. Let's jump ahead and take a look at our chances for rain. It's a 30% chance on Saturday, but mainly after sunset. Sunday, a slim chance, and Monday, we're back into a slight chance as well. Take a look at those temperatures. Looking at 68 today, 65 Saturday. Notice those overnight lows are down into the 40s almost every day of the next seven. Our warmest day coming up is Wednesday at 74. So a lot of cool temperatures in our forecast. That's definitely good news, of course. Since 10 years ago, we've never seen a tornado outbreak like that, and we hope that it doesn't happen again anytime soon. Coming up on our evening newscast, Mike Mays will be live, also in Wake County, and another hard-hit neighborhood. Back to you.
The most experienced.
Makaya Thurman here in the WREL Live Center. We want to just follow up on that breaking news we brought you of a possible incident, a lockdown happening at Piedmont Community College. We want to get right to that live picture. You can see the scene there. We have gotten the all clear, this coming from the Roxborough Police Chief, who just said that there was an incident involving a possible armed person inside of a building. They went inside, looked into the domestic incident, realized there was no armed person. So all the lockdowns for Piedmont Community College and those nearby schools have been lifted. And of course, we'll have another look at your top stories coming up after the break.
An extremely rare pregnancy in the United Kingdom.
What had happened was I got pregnant whilst I was already pregnant.
Well, later today on WRL News, how that can happen and how the mom and babies are doing.
We want to introduce you to a dog in need of a loving home. Meet Napoleon, our pet of the day from the SPCA of Wake County. Napoleon is a 10-year-old senior neutered male dog weighing 66 pounds. We're told he enjoys riding in the car, playing fetch, chewing on his toys, and watching TV. He's reportedly great with kids of all ages, dogs, even livestock, but he's not a fan of cats. Unfortunately, he has heartworm disease, but SPCA Wake is providing his full treatment. Soon, he'll be heartworm-free. Interested adopters can get more information at spcawake.org.
As we wrap up our week, here's a look at a few of the headlines we are following for your Friday. We are waiting to hear what may have led up to the latest mass shooting in the U.S. This time, a gunman opened fire at a FedEx facility in Indianapolis, killing eight people before the shooter then killed himself. Four other people were also shot, another person injured, all taken to the hospital. Police say the suspect arrived at the facility around 11 p.m. in a car and got out and moments later started shooting. With the Johnson & Johnson vaccine rollout on hold, the White House COVID team met this morning to talk about spread prevention. The focus, emerging variants. The response team announced $1.7 billion in funding to track and fight coronavirus variants. That money will go to the CDC as well as state and local health departments.
We'll continue to follow these stories on WRAL News at 4. Have a great day, everybody.
And a good weekend. Be safe.